message on the home, amen. Turn with me, if you would. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. No better place to begin in the Bible is in the beginning, in chapter 1, amen. Turn with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 1 to verse 26. Verse 26, it says this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Turn with me also to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his wife and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning, the King James Bible, Father. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, now I pray that your Word would go forth and not return void. I pray that you take me out of the flesh, take me out of the way, and fill me with the Spirit of God. Father, I just pray this message would be an encouragement to Christians today, Lord, to see what God would have them to do as far as the family, Lord. Father, I pray if there be a lost soul that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive him is to receive life eternal. Father, we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory this very day for whatever you choose to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, this is a part two. We began last week to look at some things on the home. Last time, we saw that God ordained or established the institution of the family or the home. God did that. No one else did that. That was the first institution that God ordained or established, was the family of the home with Adam and Eve. Not the government or anyone else, although they may want you to believe that they're the ones that created the home and so forth. But we want to set the record straight. The Word of God says, anything that I'll present this morning is from the Word of God, the Authorized Version, 1611 King James Bible. So the Word of God, based on the Word of God, amen, God ordained or established the family of the home with Adam and Eve. Then we began, point number one, we looked at the order of the home. The order of the home, and we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, it talked about as Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the family, or the head of the wife, amen. And the wife, it says, is to be subject to her husband as the church is subject to Jesus Christ. It says also that the wife is to be in submission to her husband, amen. We also said that the Bible says that the woman was created from man. The woman was created from man for man. The woman was created to be a helpmeet, to complement man, to match man's or meet his needs, amen. And all of these scriptures are brought out in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and as we saw in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 and 21 to 22, and 1 Corinthians 11, 8 through 9. We brought out all these scriptures in this material last week. I'm just doing a little bit of a summary before we pick up. So we then, after we saw the order of the home, number one, we started to look at the obligation of the home. And we first looked at the children's obligation to their parents. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we read, it said simply, obey, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. It's right to do, amen. You know, also we saw that not only do you obey your parents, but if you obey your parents, amen, that if you obey your parents, it's also well-pleasing to the Lord if you obey your parents in all things. Also, we looked at, as a result of obeying your parents, part of that is honoring your mother and father, having respect for them. And we saw that as a child honors their mother and father, this is the first commandment with promise, the scriptures tell us, amen. If a child will honor their mother, if children will honor their mother and fathers, amen, praise God. I'm not talking with a lousy attitude, you know, I don't want to do that. I'll do it, but I don't really want to do it. If you have respect, if you honor your mother and father, this commandment has promise. It says, number one, two things it promises, that it may be well with you. I want things to be well with me, amen. I know about you. And number two, to live long on this earth. I'd like to live long on this earth, amen. But the Word of God says, this commandment to honor thy father and mother, amen. First commandment with promise, if you honor your mother and father, amen, that things will be well with thee. And that you'll live long on this earth, amen. And then we looked at, we also not only looked at the children's obligation to the parents, but also we looked at the parents' obligation to the children, amen. And we saw that as parents, we're to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we looked at that word nurture. And we saw that through the scripture, that word nurture means discipline and punishment. And we also saw sometimes that punishment is to be a physical form of punishment, to use the rod of correction. And I went into great detail what that rod of correction is and how to use it, amen. We also saw work to not only discipline and punishment through the nurturing, but admonition. We're also to bring up our children in admonition through instruction and words, amen. And a lot of times I brought out that the child learns by watching us, amen. We're to set the example. You know, sometimes we see people think it's cute when they hear a little child come out with a cuss word or something, amen. He doesn't know what that means. Obviously, he heard his parents using it. He's following them. He's watching them as an example, amen. So we set the example for them, but how we walk the walk and how we talk the talk, amen. Children are looking out, amen. Children are basically an extension of their parents. We also saw in disciplining the child that the scripture also warned the parent not to provoke the child to wrath, not to provoke the child to anger, lest they be discouraged. And what we saw what that meant was that you don't want to continually, over and over and over and again, every time the child needs to be disciplined, to use a rod of correction, amen. Because what will happen is you keep continuing to use that rod of correction over and over and over again all the time, amen, that child will get discouraged as he gets older, he'll rebel against you, amen. And we saw then overall that the parents are responsible for the raising of the children, not the government, amen, not the schools and the daycare centers and so forth and so on, amen, but the parents. It is your responsibility as a parent, if you have a child, to raise that child, amen, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, amen. It's your responsibility. You know, don't go blaming the schools and different things in society. The blame rests upon you, amen. And then we looked at the wife's obligation in the home. And we saw, according to the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it says the woman's greatest need is to be loved by her husband. Not to have a career or anything like that, but her greatest desire is to be loved by her husband. The Lord told Eve in the garden there after the fall, he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband. To thy husband, amen. And then we saw that the wife is to be in submission to her husband, amen, as the church is in submission to Christ. And then we looked at great lengths at the Proverbs chapter 31 and verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. We looked at those 21 verses, amen, quickly, which gives the characteristics of a good wife and mother, amen, of a virtuous woman, amen. And it told us that her focus is the home. The focus is the home. The focus is not, building up a career for herself, but the focus is to take care of the home and the things of the home and the husband and the children and not her career, amen. We also brought out that the You know, the wife wasn't to, you know, be thrown in the home, the key thrown away, and not ever go outside the home, amen. That's not what we're saying here. But her main focus is to be on the home, the things of the home, taking care of the home, amen, taking care of her husband and her children, amen. So we looked at all of that. That's just quickly a brief review of what we began to look at about the home and the family, how God ordained it. It's a God-ordained institution. We looked at the order of the home, and we looked at the obligation. Now, we looked in the home, the obligation of the home, amen. We looked at the obligation of the home. We looked at the, we just briefly went over the children's obligation of the parents' obligation of the children, and then we saw the wife's obligation to the home and to the husband, amen. Now, we don't want to be prejudiced, and we want to bring out the obligation of the husband, amen. The obligation of the husband. In Genesis chapter 3, again in verse 16, it says this. We know it said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. So we brought that out, how the woman's desire is to her husband, to be loved by her husband and take care of her husband, amen. But now we see in that same verse what the husband's greatest desire is. It says, and he shall rule over thee. And he shall rule over thee, amen. In other words, the husband's greatest desire is to have the wife in submission to him, for him to be the head of the household. That's a man's greatest desire. That's how God instituted the family, amen. You know, we're not trying to be chauvinistic or anything else. This is what the Word of God says. This is how God set up things, amen. That's why things are so messed up in society today, because unfortunately, man has gone ahead, okay? Deprived man, sinful man, is gone and try to put his hands on the things that God has created and God has ordained, amen. That's why this country and the whole world is in such a mess, amen. We're trying to redefine the definition of what the family is. God gave us the definition. Hey, anything you need to know is in the Word of God, be it the family, be it discipline of the children, be it expenses, how to live your life or whatever it may be, amen. How to be saved, amen. It's in the Word of God. It's in the King James Bible, the Authorized Version, 1611 King James Bible, amen. And praise God, you and I do not have to go to a Bible school or a seminary or college to learn Greek and Hebrew. We don't need to look at a Bible scholar as our final authority. God has said His words are plain. God has said He's preserved His word. His words are preserved. His inspired, infallible, inexhaustible, indestructible words. This morning I tell you right now, praise God, is preserved in the King James Bible. Amen. Amen. So we see then, in other words, that the husband's greatest desire is to have his wife in submission to him. But let's not get the right idea about the submission thing. Let's the aspect of submission, amen. Let's see what God meant about it. Did God mean a slave-master relationship? You know, in other words, you see the husband sitting up there with his feet propped up, and the wife sitting down beside him like a little puppy dog, and he's saying, "Dear, oh, honey, go get me this and go get me not." That's not what we're talking about. Of course not. That's not what we're talking about. God, what God meant was the husband was to take the lead, okay? Take the lead. When a decision has to be made in the family about something, amen, the husband and the wife naturally are to discuss the matter, amen. But the husband is to take the responsibility to make the ultimate decision after everything's been talked about. God has given him that position. It's a great position of responsibility, amen. We have to remember that a husband, a man in his in his family is held great, has greater accountability in the sight of God, amen. Great accountability than the wife and the children, amen. Because God has given that responsibility for him to be the head of the household, to take the lead, to make the ultimate decisions, amen. And to guide and direct that family as the head of the household, amen. He's got the position, amen. He's got the authority. He's got the responsibility. But boy, does the man, the husband, have a greater accountability before God than the rest of his family, amen. And it's to be taken serious. But the husband has to set the example of submission. How does he do that? He cannot expect his wife to be in submission to him if his life is not in submission to Jesus Christ. Amen? How can a man expect his wife to be in submission to him when she looks at him and he wants her to follow him? Amen? When he's not following Jesus Christ, when he's not walking the walk, when he's not walking worthily of Jesus Christ, amen. And he's not, his life, every aspect of his life is not in submission to Jesus Christ. How can that man, how can that husband expect his wife, that woman, to be in submission to him, amen? How can she place her faith and trust in him to lead that family if he's not placing his faith and trust after salvation in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God to lead him, amen? How can a woman be in submission to a husband if she sees him day in and day out being yielded to the things of the flesh and walking in the flesh instead of being in control and yielded to the Spirit of God, amen, and doing the things of the Spirit of God, producing the fruits of the Spirit of God, amen? See, what happens today is the reason the wife is not in submission a lot of times in Christian homes is because the husband is not in submission to Jesus Christ. That's the problem. That's the problem right there. If you'd face the fact, you know, it's not because you're not macho enough, or you're not manly enough, or you're not, you know, all the men stuff. It's because your life, I'm talking to Christian husbands right now, are not in submission to Jesus Christ. That's why your family's out of whack, amen. You know? Maybe that's why you turn to your wife for the decisions to be made, because maybe she's living a more godly life than you should be living, amen. Maybe she has the power of Christ on her, praise God, because she's trying to live godly in Christ Jesus, amen. And you need to do that. You need to, Christian men, Christian husbands, if we're going to lead in our families, amen, if we're going to be the head of the household that Jesus Christ wants us, and we expect our wives to be in submission to us, then we need to be in all areas of our lives, every nook and cranny of our lives, Christian men, we need to be in submission to Jesus Christ. We need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, amen. Or your family's going to continue, and our Christian families are going to be continued to be in a mess. You know, a lot of times the reason families are in mess is also because the husband's just shrinking his responsibility. You know? They want all that macho stuff. They want to have the wife in submission to them. Amen. But they don't want any responsibility. You know? That's the problem with Christian men today, Christian husbands today. Amen. They expect the wife to be in submission to them. They like that authority. Amen. They like that submission business. Amen. But they're shirking the responsibilities, amen. They're turning to the wife to make the decision. Oh, you handle it, dear. Or I'm too busy. Hey, fathers, husbands, we need to get unbusy and spend more time with our families, amen. And set the example and be in submission to Jesus Christ and have a family altar, amen, that we can gather around and pray together as a family and look at the scriptures, amen. You know, we talk about submission, 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 submission so much. But Ephesians chapter 5 says something very important. Turn there if you would with me. You know, unfortunately, some of us Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing Christians, amen, get very selective in the Word of God. And we do what some of the other apostate groups do, amen. We cut out something and we isolate it by itself and we give it the wrong focus. You know, and that comes with the wife being in submission to the husband. We focus in submission, 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 amen. And we forget, like I just talked about, you want her to be in submission, you need to be in submission to Jesus Christ. Also look it with me if you would. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, it says, it's speaking to you now, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. One more time there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Your love for your wife today is to be as the love had for Christ. He gave his life. He shed his precious blood for the church. Christian husband, you are to love your wife to that extent that you would give your lay down your life for your wife, amen, to die for her, amen. Serious matter, but we focus on the submission, amen. We focus in on the submission part, but we overlook 25, amen. We overlook 28, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that it loveth his wife loveth himself. You can't love yourself, amen, if you don't love your wife, it says. We like to overemphasize the submission a lot, don't we? Colossians chapter 3, verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, a lot of times, husbands, you're bitter against your wives. Well, I don't understand. You know, you'll say, well, I don't understand. You know, and you'll say to her, the Bible says you're to be in submission to me. You know, and you grow bitter towards her because she's not in submission to you. You know what, maybe, Christian husband, what you need to do is read the rest of the Bible. Love your wives, husbands, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Don't grow bitter, husbands. You need to look at yourselves and see and make sure that your life is in submission to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, probably the reason your wife isn't in submission to you, don't grow bitter about it, is because you're not in submission to Jesus Christ. Don't grow bitter and blame your wife. Blame yourself, amen, and get right with Jesus Christ and be in submission to him. And then everything else will fall into line. You know, the problem with Bible-believing circles, the fundamentalists, is, you know, we emphasize submission by the wife is overly emphasized. And not the other part. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them, amen. We need to have an equal balance with the scriptures, amen. Because we become like the cults. And we isolate a verse of scripture. And we build upon it. And see, you know, a lot of times Christian men will throw it in their wives and say, look at what the Bible says. God says you're to be in submission to me. Yeah, but what else does it say? Let's be honest. We're to love our wives. Also, as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what we're to do, Christian husband. If you want your wives to be in submission to you, you need to love them. Be willing to die for them, amen. And be in submission to Jesus Christ. That'll solve your problem, amen. We also want to notice what God said to Adam after the fall in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Turn there, if you would, with me. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. He says, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. Verse 19, see in verse 17 and verse 16, he spoke to Eve. In verse 17, it begins and he says, unto Adam, he said. And he lists a bunch of things. So verse 19, he's talking to Adam and he says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. In other words, God said to man, you are the one to go out and work. In other words, to earn a living by the sweat of your brow, amen. You know, to be the breadwinner. To make a living, to provide for your family. He gave that responsibility over to Adam. He said, you're going to go out. You're going to eat the bread. through the sweat. Amen. You ought to be the breadwinner. In fact, the scriptures tell us if a man doesn't provide for his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we see then the man's responsibility. You know, each one of us in the family has a responsibility. The children, the parents to the children, the wife has a responsibility. But the husband, you have the greatest responsibility of anyone else in your family. Amen. You're the head. God's given you that responsibility. He's put it in His Word. He's written it down. You have a grade of accountability. And when we look at Christian homes today, we have to stop blaming the wife and blaming the children for the problems and looking at the husband, amen. God has given him the responsibility, the authority to be the head of his household, amen. And he's for the wife to, so things will run smoothly, for the wife to be in submission to him. But he's to be in submission to Christ. Just like Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the household. So the reason the household is in problems is because the husband is not doing what God has told him to do. That's what the problem is today. Let's stop blaming the kids and the women. Let's blame ourselves and get right with God and start living for Jesus Christ like we should be. The wife and the kids see what you do, amen. Oh, I don't want to go out there. I'm tired. I worked all week. I don't want to go out on Sunday night. But why don't you take the kids? Come on now. You need to be there with your family. Or are they here? You're sitting around the dinner table, you know, putting down the pastor and the ministry and the church. What kind of example is that going to be set for them? Amen. If you don't have the right attitude about going to church and being in church, you expect them to have the right attitude about being in church and going to church, amen? You expect them when you tell them, well, I can't make it, but you go, that they're going to be in submission to you? Come on. Husbands, God has given you a great responsibility as Christian husbands to be the head of the household. He didn't give it to the wife. He could have given it to the wife, but he didn't. He chose to give it to you. You need to use it. You need to be in submission. You need to take to Christ, and you need to take the responsibility that he's given you. Don't look around and try to blame society and the Christian schools and the pastor and this, that, and the other thing, or God. Blame yourself. Get right with God. You'll have the family that God would have you to have. Amen. So far, we've looked at the order of the home, the obligations within the home. Amen. Finally, we want to look at number three, the opposition to the home. The opposition to the home. Turn with me, if you would. The First Peter. First Peter. Chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5. We're going to see the opposition to the home. First Peter, chapter 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. The devil's not your friend, folks. It says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That includes the family, the Christian family that God has ordained. As everything that God has ordained, the family is one of the things that he has ordained. He's gone out to destroy it, to devour it. And that's the opposition to the home today. Oh, they may be under the guise of government, and they may be under the guise of sex education, or he may be under the guise of the television, amen, and the movies and the TV and so forth, so on. But it's Satan's behind it all. He's the god of this world. He's the god of this world. This is his world. He controls it, amen. I know the Lord allows him, but he's the god of this world. And he's out to destroy the family that God has ordained. We see this through government intervention in the home. By telling parents how to raise their children. How to raise their children. Laws are passed for this and laws are passed for that. Amen. You know, they interfere with areas of discipline. Amen. We've talked about that earlier. How the Bible, how God gives the parents the right of corporal punishment to use the rod of correction when a child needs to be disciplined sometimes. Amen. But we said that God didn't say to beat the child to death, to leave marks on its body, amen, to abuse the child, no. God didn't say to said not to provoke your children to wrath or provoke your children to anger, amen. It's to be used and used as God would have it to be used, but it's there to be used, amen. But the government will come in and say, no, it's child abuse, amen. Yes, there is child abuse going on, and we read about it every day, but God didn't ordain child abuse, amen. He ordained a way to discipline children, to keep them on the straight and narrow path, amen, and how to use it, and use it in a loving spirit. We see the government getting involved in the areas such as sex education, amen, as we call it, learning about the birds and the bees, amen, something that our parents should teach their children, amen. But our schools have been given the authority to teach about premarital sex. You know, they're promoting it. They're promoting premarital sex. So let's face it, that's what our schools are promoting. Because number one, they're making it easier to get birth control, be it condoms, amen. You know, isn't it a wonderful in America today, if you think about it? They've taken the Bible, the Word of God out of the schools. They've taken the Ten Commandments out of school. They've taken prayer out of the school. You can't find anything of God in the school. All you can find is things of Satan. You can find the condoms, amen. Or your daughter can get birth control pills very easily without your permission, amen. And if something happens, well, there's always abortions, amen. That's what they'll tell you. Oh, don't worry about it. If you mess up and you don't have the condom on, if you haven't taken your birth control and you conceive, well, abortion's a way out, amen. I'm sorry. The Word of God is against that. Abortion is a murder, amen. And sex is something God has ordained between a husband and a wife, amen. A male and a female, amen. A husband and a wife. He created them. Male and female. Husband and wife, amen. But no, our government, our sex education programs, and our public schools are promoting premarital sex. They're also teaching our children that sexual perversion at an early age is okay. In other words, they're teaching homosexuality, as we call it. Lifestyle is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, don't look down on them. They come out with such books as entitled Heather's Other Mummy. In the first grade, that talks about, you know, Heather has two mummies. She has her mother and then her lover that's also a woman. Heather's Other Mummy, and it explains how there's nothing wrong with that and promotes that. You know what our government is telling us, society is telling us? That we know better than God and the Word of God how you should raise your children, amen. Don't raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Raise them in the nurture and the admonition of society, which is the nurture and admonition of the devil. Hey, Satan doesn't pop out there and says, here I am, I'm going to destroy the family. You kidding me? What did it say about him? What does it say about him? When he met Eve, it says, now the serpent was more subtle He was subtler than any other beast. It also refers to him as an angel of light. He's behind the scenes. Like I said, he's got all these different guises and masks that he's using right now to destroy the family. We see it, society elevating it through mass media, for example, TV, television. I remember a case in point, back when Vice President Quayle at the time came out and came out against Murphy Brown, a TV program which was promoting, you know, a single parent, a single woman having a baby out of wedlock, and how he said that was wrong, and that's not the norm that we should be teaching the children, that's not right, and how much flack he got on that. How much the liberal press, ABC, CBS, NBC, public broadcasting, and all of them, all the newspapers and radio stations, raked him through the coals. Because he got up and he said, that's wrong. We shouldn't be promoting that. You know, God ordained husband and wife, amen, and children, amen. Society condones. It's okay getting pregnant out of marriage. Can all, like I said, it's always, you can have the abortion if things go wrong. Also, it's being brought out, divorce is an ordinary way of life now. You know, no commitment. There's no more commitment anymore in America. That's a problem. It goes from the workforce all the way down into the home. There is no more commitment. Amen. Even unsaved families years ago had commitments. Amen. You had people being married 50, 60 years, and the only way they were separated was through death, and times were hard. These were unsaved homes. We have divorce even within the Christian ranks. We also see that society looks down on a woman if she wants to stay home and raise her own family. They say, what's your problem, woman? Don't you want to have a career? They make it look down. They put peer pressure on that woman. If she doesn't go out and have a separate career, that she must have rocks in her head. How dare she want to stay home and raise her family and take care of the home and her husband, amen. That's what Satan is pushing on society, and that's what Satan, and that's what society is swallowing hook, line, and sinker, amen. He's out to destroy the family. Satan, the devil, is our adversary. He's our opposition to the home that God has set up and ordained, amen. You know, I hate this ad. Oh, the government wouldn't ever do anything, you know, that would harm us or hurt us, amen. Oh, no. Our schools? Our teachers? Oh, no. Let's wake up. Let's wake up and see what's going on. And see what's going on right now in America. An illustration on a global scale, how Satan is out to destroy the families is, there's 170 countries, delegates from 170 countries meeting right now in Beijing, China. Meeting right now to attend the United Nations Fourth World Conference on Women. In fact, Mrs. Clinton, the president's wife, is heading up the U.S. delegation. The U.S. is supporting this, promoting this conference, amen. The official UN document, which will be promoted in Beijing for this conference, was written by radical feminists, including Bella Abzug, who's noted for her anti-family views. Great significance to the framers of the conference is a concept known as gender feminism, a new way of looking at human sexuality. Gender, they say, is a product of human thought and culture. The notion that babies come into the world as male or female is wrong. In other words, what they're saying, this conference is saying, God's wrong. God did not create them male and female. That's what they're saying. They're canceling out the word of God. In other words, gender, they're not male, and gender is a product of human thought and culture. In other words, you can think whatever you want to be. When you come out of your mother's womb, you don't come out male and female. You can think whatever you want later on. They say the biological differences between men and women are relatively insignificant. They want to, at this conference, eliminate the terms wife, husband, son, daughter, sister, brother, mankind, womanhood, masculine, feminine, and replace with gender-neutral terms, parent, spouse, child, sibling. What they're trying to do is get rid of the distinction between masculinity and femininity. And I praise God for those differences, amen. What makes a man, and a woman, amen. Praise God. God ordained those things. He created them male, and he created them female, amen. They want to replace at this conference the two genders. We have two genders, male and female. Like I said over and over again, the Bible says God created them male and female. Praise God for that. But they want to replace the two, male and female, with five genders. Male, female, homosexual, lesbian, or transgendered. The reason for it frees people from tradition so they can try all five if they like. Can you imagine that? Can you not see Satan in all of this? 170 countries are meeting in Beijing, China. What a better place for this conference in Beijing, China. This is a place where they look down upon women having more than one child. If she has more than one child, she has to have it aborted. She has to have it aborted. And there's even things that have come out that human fetuses are on the restaurant menus as delicacies. What a fitting place for a conference that's attacking the family in Beijing, China. They say homosexuality at this conference is considered the moral equivalent of heterosexuality. The marriage is seen as the root of all evil for women. Men are seen as oppressors and exploiters whom women should regard as lifelong enemies. These are all the things that they want to bring out at this conference. The family is also to blame for most of the domestic violence suffered by women and girls. Nowhere is it acknowledged that men and women should be partners in the procreation, care, and nurturing of children, amen. They said for women, the preferred relationship is lesbian in nature, so the male oppressiveness can be negated. Artificial insemination is the ideal method of producing a pregnancy. A lesbian partner should have the same parental rights accorded historically biological fathers. Look at all these things. Tell me, this cannot be of God. It can only be of Satan. It can only be of Satan. We've seen, we've looked at, these past couple of weeks, a very important subject, the home, the family. It's being attacked day in and day out, hour in, hour out, minute in, second out, by Satan. He wants to destroy what God has created, what God has ordained. He's out to destroy the family. The word of